Romans chapter 8. As I said, every morning I like to thank the Lord for my salvation, and He just reminds me as I start studying my Bible how my quiet time of a morning, really all the aspects of salvation. We'll never know all of them until we get to heaven, but there's just so many aspects of our salvation. These three words, God's answer to man's sin. We know that we have sinned. God said we have, and I don't think all of us are aware of that we have sinned, but God's got an answer to our sin. And then these three words, the grace, the groaning, and the glory. Many people have called the book of Romans the constitution of Christianity, and I believe it is. It's the solid book of Romans. There are no Bill of Rights in the constitution of Christianity. There's nothing that we can demand, but we have God's gift of grace is better than the Bill of Rights that we have in our regular constitution. As we look at these verses tonight in this chapter, we'll take as many as we can, and think together on the title of God's answer to man's sin. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, you know, God had already had an answer to man's sin that was passed on to all of us. And that's one, that's the grace that we have experienced in the past, the groaning that we are experiencing now, but the glory that we will experience out in the future. Let's take the first one to start with, the grace that we have already experienced 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, what Jesus Christ done. He paid the debt that you and I could not pay, but whenever we accept Him as our Lord and Savior and understand what He did for us, and we applied our faith to that grace in Christ Jesus, then we experience that grace. So thank you, Lord, for that grace. And these three words, justification, sanctification, and also glorification, goes along with grace, groaning, and glory. Because 2,000 years ago, what Jesus Christ done, and you, when you accepted Jesus Christ for payment of your sin, justification took over. You was made righteous, and you was made just in the eyes of the Lord. And that's through grace. And then from that time on, well, you realize or not, you start to experience a little bit of the groans, the pain, and the agony, and out to the sanctification, to bring us to what God has already called us to be. As you know, in this life, there's some pains, and there's some sorrow, and there's difficulties, and there's tears. And all this goes through the word there of sanctification, making us what we will be one day, more like Jesus Christ. And then out there in the glory is glorification. That means when our soul, our spirit, and our body all together will be redeemed. My soul has already been redeemed. My body is not redeemed right now, but it will be redeemed one day in glory. So we have experienced this grace in the past. Now, since I and you and everyone that's saved have experienced this grace already, there's no more condemnation for sin. Didn't say that we didn't sin, but I said there's no more condemnation for sin. And that should give us a great pleasure knowing what Jesus Christ done for us. No more condemnation because we are in Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you look at Romans chapter 8, we read the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for that great message of your word this hour. Oh, how we thank you. We praise you, O God, for the promise and the power of the living word of God. Father, that every word and pen in your holy Bible, we want to thank you. We want to praise you, God, that, Father, it's your word. And, Lord, how, Lord, it gives us the life and how it gives us strength and power, Lord, to live this Christian life through the Holy Spirit of God. And, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for letting us know what have been done in the past and what's being done to us right now as children of God and what's going to be done for us out in the future. You already see it as done. So we want to thank you and we want to praise you here this night that, Father, the aspects of the salvation, we want to thank you and praise you for it, for all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. No more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No more condemnation for sin. What does that mean? Well, Noah was in that old ark. You know, it represented Jesus Christ. And it said they covered that ark inside and outside with pitch. That means the judgment waters on the outside of the ark could not get in the ark. It's called pitch. And that word pitch in the Old Testament is a word there for atonement. In the New Testament, atonement, it says, you know, we can say we've been atoned. Jesus Christ is our atonement. On the inside and the outside, you see, we in Jesus Christ. We in Christ, Jesus Christ, and He's in us. And therefore, the judgment waters of God cannot get to us today. We're in the ark of Jesus Christ. And no judgment can come to us. No condemnation can come to us now. We've already been judged. So when we go to the judgment seat of Christ, as you know, that's where the saved will be judged at. We'll be judged according to what we've done in these bodies, not judged because where we go to heaven or not. Not judged, you know, of our sin, but we'll be judged by the work we have done and what we have accomplished for Jesus Christ and what we have not accomplished for Jesus Christ since we've been saved until we leave this earth. No condemnation. Don't have to worry about the punishment of sin no longer because we have been atoned. Now, just as this pitch kept the judgment waters out, to the same way God's judgment will not beat upon you because it beat upon Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. Noah was safe in the ark, and I'm going to tell you, you're safe also in Jesus Christ the same way. Now, in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, the King James Version says, "Come thou and all thy family into the ark." God says, come into the ark. A lot of other translations, a loose translation, will tell you to go into the ark. Noah, go into the ark. And say, well, it don't make any difference. It does. God says to come into the ark, come out of the judgment's waters, come out of that judgment, come in to where I'm at. You see, God was inside with Noah also. Come in there where I may be with you. Come with me where I am. God then sealed the door. The door was God's business, and God shut the door. Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. Now, Noah, what we know of many times, may have fell down several times in the ark. We know that. But he never fell out of the ark. I'll ask you tonight, have you ever failed in the Christian life? Have you ever failed in the Christian life? Fell down? Stumbled? Made a mistake? Every one of us. But I'm going to tell you what, you didn't fall out of Christ. A lot of people say, well, you'll fall from grace. No such thing as falling from grace. When a Christian falls in the Christian life, you do not fall from grace. You fall into grace. Remember that. You never fall from grace, but you'll fall into grace. Noah never fell out of the ark. Might have fell down many, many times. No condemnation for those. No more sin. No have to worry about that. You know what? It just gets better and better for the child of God. Since there's no more condemnation for sin, you know, this world has called us to be so happy in the Lord. It will cause us to want to serve Him more than we've ever served Him before. Want to cause us to live for Him as we never lived before. Want to cause us to be more active in all the service of everything we can do for Christ Jesus through His church. To know that there's no more condemnation for sin and no more control by sin. We don't have to worry about that. God's got to answer to man's sin. We don't have to be controlled by sin any longer. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. There's a law of sin, as you know that. And death works in every one of us. By nature, we know what's going to happen to us if the rapture don't come back, every one of us. That law. But there's a new law also. The law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ. Now, God has removed the condemnation for my sins and your sins tonight. Man, I tell you what, you could not pay any of it back, but God removed it for you. And God began to put a new law in you when you were saved, a new law in me. Now, we have the law of sin and death already working us. You know, just like gravity works every day in us, that law of death worked in us every day, the law of sin worked in us every day. But you know that law of gravity, the sin and gravity, it works like our body this hour. You see, there's a law of gravity. But if you get on an airplane, you know, when you take off an airplane, there's another law that takes over gravity, law of the aerodynamics. The gravity can't hold that plane down if it's like it's supposed to be. It's going up in there. When you go up into the air, the law of gravity is not holding you down no longer. There's a greater law, aerodynamics, that takes over, and that plane and everything in that plane begins to fly, and gravity has no more pull or a control over that plane, or either you while you're in that plane. Now, if I was to step out of that plane willingly, you see, the law of gravity immediately would take over. You see, long as we're in Christ, we don't have to worry about the law of sin and death because it's took care of. No more control by sin. No more condemnation. We're in Christ Jesus. We're flying now. We had a high altitude. And we're flying because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. A new law that works in us. I want to thank you for that. But see, I'm going to stay with Christ. And it says, those abides in me. That's talking about we abide in Christ. In John chapter 15, abide in Christ, abide in Christ, abide in Christ. Live, breathe Jesus Christ, abide in Christ Jesus. Sin need not have control of us anymore. So thank you, Lord, the grace we experience. There's no more condemnation for sin, no more control by sin. Now, you know, you don't have to continue in sin anymore either. We don't have to keep doing that. We can come out of that. Don't have to, you know, continuation of sin. In verse 3 it says, for what the law could not do, you see, all through the Old Testament, all the Jews, all the law, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, you know how the flesh is, the flesh will fall right into sin all the time. God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus came and he died for sin on the cross of Calvary. And that told us just exactly what God thought about sin. He sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary. Condemned sin in the flesh. And then verse 4 says that the righteous, really done this, that the righteous of the law might be fulfilled in us. That the righteous of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, Jesus gave himself for us, that he may be give himself to us. That's what Christ done for us. He gave himself. Thank you, Lord, for what he done for me. What he done for you also. Jesus is God's righteousness. I told you many times. Your righteousness, my righteousness, Jesus Christ is God's righteousness, and he imputed that righteousness to us. He gave it to us as a gift and took our sins away from us. Also, whenever we're saved, you know what? We do not fulfill that ourselves, but Jesus Christ does that in us. We're not fulfillment of the law, but Christ does that in us. We don't do it, but he does that in us. Jesus lives in us so that we have the grace that we have experienced. Everybody here tonight, if you're saved, you have experienced that grace that God intended for you to experience when there's no more condemnation for your sin. I don't have to worry about being judged for my sin. You say, you don't sin no more. I didn't say that, but I won't have to be judged for it. My judgment over at Calvary 2,000 years ago. Aren't you glad of that? Man, it's not how good you live, how good you act, how good you behave. It's what Christ Jesus has done for you. When he sees you, he don't see you in your sin. He sees you in the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. But then after we have experienced God's grace, we move on to that sanctification part of it. The groaning that we endure. Now, I guess you know that we're not eliminated from the, after you're saved, from the groanings and the sorrows and the difficulties and the pain each day we have it everywhere we see because we're living in an imperfect world. Imperfect world. But this sanctification takes over. And we move more and more what we're going to be, the groans that we have. In verse 18 through 23, listen at the groans Paul is talking about. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. As we move through this groaning, Paul says, this groaning. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of this creation waiteth for the manifestation of the Son of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who have subject the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the child of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travails in pain together until now. Then it says in verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. As we look at this, as we see this world we're living in, so imperfect world, well, what does it mean, vanity? When I read that verse of Scripture, it said, you know what? The subject to vanity. It means that this nature, this world that we're looking at, God didn't make it this way. This is not the original intention that God made it for. But you see now how we see it. We see it. Now, look at all the pain that we see in this world right now. And you look at all the sorrow this past week at the killings out there in Colorado. And also all the pain that we see, what happens in our life, and the crying, the groaning, and even the dying. All around us, everywhere, the world that you and I are living in. You look at nature, and you see nature is not now what God intended for it to be. You know, there's a law of the tooth and the fangs and the claws. You know, there's a time whenever the lion's going to lay down with the lamb, but not right now. If the lion lays down with the lamb will be in the lion. Right now we see the claws and how the nature is today. And the material world that we see and the corruption and decay and the death all around us, working everywhere. In the nature that we see around our world, we see the floods and the drought and the fires and the tornadoes and the hurricanes, killing hundreds and thousands of people and damaging everything that is in its path. And we see this imperfect world that we live in. There's pain everywhere. As I told you Sunday, pain, you know, is God's gift to us. Let us know that something's wrong. Well, do you know what? There's something wrong in this world. There's something wrong with all this pain. As you see, out in Colorado, there's something terrible wrong with that man. There's something terrible wrong with our society. There's something terrible wrong with our culture. And they're looking to try to find out what it is. God said it's sin. God says it's vanity, the world that we're living in. There's something very, very wrong with what we see. The groaning of this creation. And then we see also the groaning of Christianity. Verse 23 again it says, and not only they, not talking about the nature, not only they, but ourselves also, which had the first fruit of the Spirit, even ourselves groaning within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to the wit, the redemption of the body. Even Christians groan. You know what? We are part of all this. We're part of all this. God's answer to man's sin. We are part of it, the grace and the groaning and the glory. We're not immune to pain and the suffering. Have y'all found that out? Y'all found out you're not immune to the pain and the suffering? Verse 24 it says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? That word hope, as we find out, it's just a reverential hope. It's not hoping maybe something happens, but it means already going to happen. Redemption of the body. Is he talking about him? The glorification. As I said, my body has not been redeemed yet. You don't have a redeemed body yet. It's going to be. God's already done it in his eyes, in his mind. Foundation of the world, I have already been redeemed, but yet I'm standing here until the rapture. I'm headed for, until that time, you know what I'll be headed for? I'm headed for trouble. You got a doctor appointment next week? You got a doctor appointment this week? If you don't, you probably will have. There'll be some problems in your life. Your family got some problems. Anybody in your family go to the doctor? Any pain, any problems in your family? You know why? Because we're headed for trouble. We're headed for more sorrow in this old world and these bodies that we're living in. Preacher, give me some good news. All right, it's going to get worse. The older we get, what can we expect? God is telling us that, but you know God's going to be with us. Thank you, Lord. Oh, goodness. But you see, the groaning of the Christian, we have this. In the life we live in, we look around, we have the groaning in these old bodies waiting. But one of these days, you know, my groaning is going to be over with. I'm not going to have no pain, no suffering, no sorrow, no tears. I'm going to have complete joy. It's going to be over with one day. And it's just as good, I said, in the heart and mind of God, it's already happened to me. Yet I got to go through this, but it's already happened. One of these days, old Paul says, you know, what he said, man, for I reckon that all this suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Man, I kind of like that. I really do. But you see, the groaning of the comfort's coming. Verse 25 through 27. This is the comfort that we have while we're going through this. But we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth that what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now his Spirit is in us praying for us. And also we have this language of the Spirit. We don't know what to pray for sometimes, but the Spirit does. And he helps us. He finds a place to help us. He said he is the comforter, the one that comes alongside us. You know, Jesus said, I must go away, but I'm going to send you a comforter, and that comforter is going to come alongside of us, be in us. Now, here's what it means also. This comfort is in me. Well, whenever I'm sick and I'm sick and I want to get some help, and I run to a doctor. And you know, the doctor gave me some medicine. He gave me a pain shot, or give me this, or give me that. You see, that doctor is my comforter. He's one to come alongside of me. Then a lawyer comes. I'm in some trouble. I need somebody to accuse me of something. Then I go to a lawyer, and he helps me out. Well, somebody accused me of something. And then maybe, you know, my house is burning down, and I don't know what to do, but, you know, a fireman comes to my house. So that's what it means when it comes along and helps us. What would I do now? For instance, my house was on fire. You know what? You get all excited. Now, you ever had a house caught you won't catch on fire? Man, I'm going to tell you, you want a house catch on fire? I was caught on fire one night when I was at the railroad working in Joyce in the house there. A man that caught on fire. Man, you won't know what to do when your house gets on fire. You'd be so nervous, you don't know what to call, who to call, what to do. And here comes Stevie with a fire bill. Thank you, Stevie. He's our comfort to come alongside there and out that fire your house. That's what he's talking about. You don't know what to do. People get so excited. Man, they don't know which way to go. You get your house on fire and you get so excited, you don't know who to call, what to do. You go and try to save something out of your house. You know what? You won't know what to pick up first. You might save the dog, let the house burn down. You know what to save. Then here comes Stevie. He knows exactly what to do when he gets there. All right? That's what the Holy Spirit does when we end problems. We get excited. We don't know what in the world to do. Fire in our heart. Family sick, don't know what to do. Here comes the comforter. He knows exactly what to do. He puts out that fire, and he gives us that hope. Man, listen, you got a child just got hurt. Man, Lord, listen, that child just got hurt. You don't know what in the world to do. You're going to bleed to death. Man, you're going to take off. You don't know where to dial 911 or jump in the car and take off a Cameron Hospital. You don't know what to do. You have lost your mind. You don't know what to do. Boy, and then comes those medics. Here comes a rescue unit. Man, time they get there, you know, they take over, man. Gives you a high. Well, I'm glad y'all here. Man, they take over, you know, and whatever it is, they bandage it up, you know, and go to sticks and needles and everything else. Man, it gives you hope, don't it? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit's telling you. All these problems you're having and sickness and difficulties and trials and, man, you don't know what to do. And, man, here comes the help. Here comes the comforter. Just like those medics coming. You know, just like old Stevie's coming. Come get help. Man, I'm glad people work at the hospital. I tell you, I don't like to work on third shift. I don't like to work on second shift. And I don't like anybody to have to work on Sunday. But if I go to the hospital with some pain, I want somebody to be there. I want somebody to comfort me there with a shot as quick as they can if I'm in pain. There's that comfort. I don't know what to do, but you see, you got a group of people that knows what to do. Thank you, Lord, for that. Now, the comforter knows what to do. In every situation that you will ever go through, in every situation, all the groaning, the pain, the agony, whatever it might be, you have got that comforter. It fits every situation, whether it be a fire, you know, whether it be sickness, whether it be sorrow, whether it be the hospital, whatever it be, you got the comforter is already there. He's already there. Thank you, Lord, for the groanings of that comforter. He's with us. But then the glory that we will expect, we're going to get that one day. And verse 18 is, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared," Paul said, "with all the glory which shall be revealed in us." Man, I thank you for that. You know, Paul went through a lot of things in his life. He was beaten, left for dead, stoned, shipwrecked, man starved, in prison, out of prison. Man, old Paul went through so much as a Christian. And then he says, you know what? All that suffering I went through, all that suffering in that present time, it's not even worthy to compare to the glory that I'm going to get. So what he is saying is, Paul says, you take all your troubles that you've ever been through in life. You take all the sorrow of this world and death can ever throw at you. You take all the pain. You take all the agony. You take all the bad times and everything in this life can ever throw at you. And old Paul says, I won't even compare. to the glory that we're going to get. It won't even compare. It's so much greater, he said, than all the pain and agony and sorrow and difficulty we have. One of these days, he said, it won't even compare to what you're going to get one of these days. He talked about these three things as the glory revealed in us. He said, one thing, because God has prepared us for that day. He's prepared us for that glory, verse 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that loves God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the first among many brethren. We're going to groan a little bit. Why? You know what this groaning is going to do to us? It's going to make us more like Jesus Christ. Yeah, it will. Because you know what? We talk about school, praying for our school and the teachers here and everything and the teachers in our school. But you know what? The kids, they might not want to go back to school. They might have a good time and all. But guess what? Every one of you right now is in God's school. Every one of you. Me. We're in God's school. And we're in God's school because he is preparing us for glory. He's going to prepare us for glory. And he's going to allow us to go through some suffering to get us ready for this glory that he's going to give us one day. Because he has predestined us for this glory and unto this glory. Verse 29 and 30, as he says already, for who he knew he did predestine. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called, and whom he called, them also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Glorified, glorification, that's past tense, it's already been done. In God's mind, I'm already glorified. I'm already in heaven. I'm already past all the agony and pain and sorrow. God's mind, it's already happened. Because God sees the past, and God sees the present, and God sees the future all in one time. He's way up there on top looking down. You see a parade, you might see a parade, and you know, they'll have these parades going by, and you might see them as they go by, you know, and you see them as they go by. And you know what? You can't see the end, you can't see the beginning, but you can see right in front of you the parade goes by. But what if somebody takes you up on a tall, tall building to go to the parade? You know, and you can see way down on the end there where they start at, and way down there where they end at. You can see the whole thing from up high. Well, God sees the whole thing at one time. Our past and our present and our future. Nothing by reason, nothing catching God by surprise. He knows everything. He doesn't see your life in your past, your life now, and he sees your life in the future. He sees everything right now. Glorification. It's already happened. God's eternal counsel has already put us in glory. God has determined that. He's predestined us to go to glory. After we got saved, we're going to glory. We're going to be like Jesus Christ. God has determined that. Now listen. What God has settled in eternity can never be undone by time, by humanity, by the devil, or hell itself. What God has determined. Now, I don't care what people said about losing your salvation. They're out of their mind, for all I'm concerned, because the Bible says, I've determined and predestined you to go to heaven. And listen, man, time, humanity, devil, hell itself cannot change that. Man, I tell you, that's God's answer to man's sin. What I've already determined. God has reserved us for glory, verse 33 and 34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yeah, rather than raised again. Who is even at the right hand of the Father? Who has made intercession for us? You see, he has reserved us for this glory. No fault can condemn us. I'm going to tell you what. For this present glory. Paul says, you know, I'm going to throw you out a challenge now. Paul said, now you listen to me. I'm going to throw you out a challenge. Those people try to deceive, try to mock Paul. I'm going to throw you out a challenge. Who can condemn us? Christ died for us. So no foe can conquer us. And I'm going to tell you, no faults can condemn us. And no fear needs to control us, Paul says. I'm going to throw you out a challenge. God's answer to man's sin, grace, groaning, and glory. And he says, each day. Each day is a day for thanksgiving. And God says this challenge now in verses 35 through 39, I'll be through. Who shall separate us then from that type of love of Christ? Shall the tribulation that we go through, shall distress, persecution, famine, starving to death, nakedness, pearls, sword, as it is written, for my sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accepted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither death nor life, I don't care if I die, I don't care if I stay here, angels or principalities, power, nor things present, nor things to come, height or depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You're going to glory. Woo! Whew. Man, I feel better. I'm going to glory. My body's going to be redeemed one day, and I'm going to glory. Now, that's God's answer to my sin. How about you? We got a song we put on while we have a word of prayer, just some words, whatever it might be. We have just a short prayer this hour. Think about those who are less fortunate we are. Think about those who are not with us.